In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the
Time for some movie talk, and to do that, we welcome in our friend Alan Adams for Pass the Popcorn. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to have you here with us. We were chatting in the break there. You had a whirlwind weekend in the arts.
Yeah, no. Went down to Massachusetts, saw our niece give just a rousing turn as Sandy the dog in a production of Annie Jr.
That's awesome. How old is she?
She's in the fifth grade.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And just sort of discovering the joy of the arts. And it's, and obviously, like, that's something that we're going to, celebrate as much as possible. Her parents tend towards the, he's a chemist. She's a doctor. So it's like, I'm just, hey, hippie Uncle Alan's gonna teach you how to walk around barefoot and curse.
It's fantastic.
You need that in your life.
Those are the uncles everybody has to have, right?
I was down in Portland for the annual Port Fringe pop-up fundraiser. This year's selection was The Great Gatsby, and so I and nine other individuals and groups came together with our own individualized takes on various sections of the F. Scott Fitzgerald classic, and did what we do and stitched it all together. And it was a whole lot of weird, and a lot of people wearing fancy clothes, drinking fancy drinks, and watching a bunch of lunatics do some really nutso interpretation of an American classic. So yeah, and that was super fun as well. And got to catch up with some friends along the way, and then made it home. And as I was telling you, we got home, sat down on the couch, and several hours later, got up to go to bed.
There you go. That's the end of a good weekend.
Yeah, right. Could have been worse for sure.
Absolutely. Did you get to see some movies in the past week?
I did. Ooh. I got to see a couple.
Well, good. Well, what have you got for us?
Well, we've got one theatrical release. We went to see Dungeons & Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Ooh.
From the streaming side of things, we took to Netflix and got to see Murder Mystery 2. The sequel to the film from 4 years ago, starring Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston.
Wow! All right, where do you want to begin?
Wherever you like, man. I'll go. I'll do whatever.
Well, let's go D&D.
Okay. First of all, I greatly enjoyed this movie. I was a kid who was fascinated by Dungeons and Dragons, but I never got to play because none of my friends were the least bit interested. But I was also that kid who, like, I had, like, the modules, and I had the books, like, those big, like, old school, like, Wizards of the Coast books, like the Monster Manual and Deities and Demigods. Like, I would just sit down and just page through those for fun. But as I said, I never got to play the game as such, but I've long had an affinity for it, and it's sort of the foundation for so much of the sort of current, well, I say current, but the last 40 years of fantasy filmmaking. It's basically like Lord of the Rings and D&D, and that pretty much covers it.
Mm.
So it was interesting to see this movie because there have been a lot of ill-conceived attempts to bring Dungeons and Dragons to the big screen. We've seen some bad movies, we've all been burned. So we're all a little cautious going into something like this. But I gotta say, it was really good. Obviously high fantasy, but like it's also kind of a heist movie and kind of a buddy comedy, and plenty of good action. It's co-directed by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly. They co-wrote the screenplay as well. It's got a great cast. Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Regé-Jean Page, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillis, and Hugh Grant, who is excellent. in this.
Wait, John Francis Daley, see the kid from Freaks and Geeks?
He sure is.
Nice.
Yeah. He is a very successful screenwriter and filmmaker these days. Yeah, he and Goldstein, they're a writing team primarily. But they wrote like the Spider-Man Homecoming. They've written a number of really, really well-received scripts.
They've
directed a couple of movies together too, including, I believe, we talked about it when it came out, a movie that I really liked. Game Night was one of theirs.
Oh, okay. All right.
They've ventured into the fantasy realm, and we're all the luckier for it because this is a really solid movie. So here's the gist. I'm not going to get it's a pretty plotty movie, but not in a like it's plotty, but not plotting. it really has a wonderful pacing to it, but there is a lot of story. So we're not going to go too deep into those particular weeds. But basically, you've got a bard by the name of Edgin. That's Chris Pine. Who spent a lot of time as part of an order of peacekeepers, but then his wife was killed due to his running afoul of some evil wizards, like you do. He and his partner, a barbarian named Holga, played by Michelle Rodriguez, wind up in prison. It's actually a really wonderful conceit because we get the entire backstory as he's pleading his case for parole. Like early release, and so we get the whole the whole exposition situation taken care of in 7 or 8 minutes, but it's all in context, so that's really that's really kind of fun. And then we're kind of off to the races, and we learn about his their sort of team of thieves and rogues. Like they have a sorcerer by the name of Simon, that's Justice Smith, and a rogue by the name of Forge Fitzwilliam. That's Hugh Grant, as well as a mysterious, a mysterious acquaintance who's also a wizard, who we find out has ulterior motives. we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
So anyway, they go to prison for a couple of years. When they get out, things have changed. Their old buddy Forge has somehow become the lord of a particular realm. They're not really sure how that happened. They go to try to find out more. In particular, they go to find out if he still has this one thing they were trying to get, this magical MacGuffin that is allegedly able to bring someone back from the dead. So our man Edgin is trying to bring his wife back to the dead, back from the dead, in order to both get his wife back and to bring back the mother of his child, who has, as it turns out, been under the care of her good old Uncle Forge. He's been telling her some stuff that may or may not be entirely true about the situation. And then, boom, it's quests. We have our main quest, of course, but as in any good Dungeons & Dragons game, we have a number of side quests that involve, Holga going home to her estranged former lover, played in an absolutely wonderful cameo by a very famous person that I am not going to spoil, because when I realized who it was, like I literally tee-heed like out loud because it was it just tickled me so
nice.
So I'm not gonna spoil that for anyone. You deserve the surprise. And then they go and they have to go into the place called the Underdark, which is the underworld, to look for other things. They have to get a thing so they can use that thing to get another thing, and that thing will let them get the thing that they actually want to get. And I'm not going into the names, just calling them things is easier for everybody. Along the way they also meet the paladin Zenk, that's Rene Jean Page, and it's just on and on, and they go in all these different directions, but always moving forward in a very engaging and entertaining way. It culminates in a big final battle that I gotta tell you, Rich, there are some very large franchises out there that could take some valuable lessons from this movie. Because first of all, the interpersonal dynamic of our little cadre, our team, is very genuine, very engaging, not forced. The film is funny without trying too hard. The action sequences are very well realized. And, Rich, so many of these things like take place in the daytime.
Ooh.
Like you can see
stuff.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like even the, like, even when you're in the place literally called the Underdark, it's light enough that you can see stuff happening.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny because it's one of those things where I was always sort of dismissive. It's like, oh yeah, so it's dark, but it's fine. You can, but then you see it, like you're watching something and you can actually see like everything that's happening. And you're like, oh right, yeah, this is much better than the alternative. So again, really well written. The performances are great. Everyone in this movie knows exactly what kind of movie it's supposed to be. And so you have this wonderful sense of this winking sense of humor, but also like genuine emotional engagement. And the action sequences are really strong. You know, and the filmmakers are also very, very clearly observant of the particulars of Dungeons and Dragons, the game, particularly like, you know, character classes, like, you know, the bard does bard stuff, the barbarian does barbarian stuff, you know, your magic user, there's a druid at one point, Sophia Lillis comes and just, you know, turns into a bunch of stuff at various times. And it's just, you know, you combine that commitment to, you know, acknowledgement of the game mechanics, both in terms of, you know, character development you know, the way the actual action plays out. You combine that with really strong visual effects, phenomenal performances, and again, a movie that takes itself precisely the amount of seriously that you want it to. Not too much, but it's not, you know, there's some wink wink, but there's not, it's not like, I don't know, it's just, it feels very respectful in a way that I don't know that a Dungeons & Dragons movie would have been treated, even 10 or 15 years ago. Like, I feel like our culture's relationship with that game in particular has evolved to the point where people can be a little bit more, you know, honest about how they feel about it. Because I know a lot of people out there love Dungeons & Dragons, like, grew up playing it, still play it to this day. You know, and it's a game built around storytelling. And so when you have a movie that gets that, what you get is a well-told story. And that's, nice. And that's what this movie was. Like I had a tremendous time. It was, far better, than I expected it to be, with so many D&D Easter eggs. Like I can't even begin to describe it, but like just, Anytime you're watching, you just look around the corners of the screen, you're going to see something that's like, oh, right. Yeah, I remember that. So, yeah, very cool.
Nice. Well, a pleasant surprise there. All right, we're talking movies with Alan Adams here on Dav 10. Tell us about Murder Mystery 2, if you would.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. It's See, here's the thing. I'm never, like, I've moved beyond, like, when I was in high school, I loved Adam Sandler. I grew older and a little more quote unquote sophisticated in my tastes. And then I became a little bit dismissive of Mr. Sandler's work. And as I've grown older, you know, he has also grown older because that's how time works. I've realized that all he wants to do is go to these wonderful places with his friends.
Yeah.
And like fart around for a month, and then there's a movie at the end of it, and I can't as someone, you know, who is, you know, who's in, you know, well ensconced in middle age at this point, like that sounds like a really great way to live.
Yeah,
you know, like, and like, and how can I fault a guy for you know, and you know, Netflix backed up the truck to give him just an absolute crap load of money to make movies for them. And here's the thing, like, we're never going to know like viewership numbers for these streaming services. They have zero interest in transparency in that regard. But it sure seems like these movies are incredibly successful every time they drop.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're always on, like they pop up, they hang out in the top 10 lists for weeks at a time. Like people love them.
Yeah.
And you know, there's something to be said for for giving the people what they want. And sometimes mm-hmm. what they want is Adam Sandler doing Adam Sandler stuff with you know, various famous people, and you know, doing goofy stuff, and you know, doing it in like on a you know tropical island or in Paris or you know, various you know, jet setting locales. So Murder Mystery 2, you don't really need to have seen the first one.
Oh, good. I was worried that because, I wouldn't be able to catch up.
Right. Because I did see it. I remember absolutely nothing about it. But we're 4 years later. Our heroes, the Spitzes, Nick and Audrey Spitz. That would be Nick is Adam Sandler. Audrey is Jennifer Aniston. They have... after the events of the previous movie, they've become private investigators. But as it turns out, they're not very good at being private investigators, and so their business is struggling. And as an extension, their relationship is struggling, and it's all looking pretty grim until their old friend from the previous movie, Vikram, the Maharaja, as he's known, the incredibly wealthy scion of a global business empire, invites them to his wedding on the aforementioned private tropical island. And so they go to the wedding, and everything is exciting, and it's a lavish affair with beautiful people and celebrities and, you know, Bollywood dance numbers and elephants and the whole shebang. But then there's a kidnapping, Rich.
Oh, oh my.
A kidnapping, and wouldn't you know it, the only ones... who are there? Who could possibly solve this mystery? Well, it's the Spitzes. except when a random MI6 agent is a former MI6 agent named Connor Miller is brought in. He and his team come to sort of you know, they're more trusted with the you know, the saving the, you know, again, head of a global business empire, as opposed to the randos from Queens. Connor Miller, played wonderfully, by the way, by Mark Strong, who's great in this movie. And then hijinks ensue. Like, the truth is, not a, you know, you'll work it out pretty quickly. What's going on? It's Murder Mystery 2. Plenty of the former, not a lot of the latter. Like, it's pretty clear pretty early exactly what exactly is going on. They throw some red herrings at you and the like, but eventually, and by eventually, I mean halfway through, maybe right around there, you're like, oh, okay, I know how this is going to play out. But again, it doesn't matter because everyone involved is clearly having such a good time that, you know, you can really be a little more forgiving of that sort of stuff. Is it a great movie? No. No, but it's also, I mean, it's a sight better than some of the stuff that you stumble upon,
right,
on the various streaming services. And the truth is, like, it's remarkable to think about. But you know, you watch the, you know, I've seen bits of the press junkets and all that stuff. Man, like, it really does seem like literally everyone who has ever worked with Adam Sandler just adores him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and that, I mean, like, in a, you know, in this business, like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, that is vanishingly rare. And for him to continue to have that sort of reputation, like, I mean, he's been doing this for coming up on 30 years now.
Yeah, right.
You know, and everybody still loves him and everybody wants to work with him, mm-hmm. you know, whether, you know, leaving aside, you know, because, and we've discussed this, like, when he wants to, like, Adam Sandler can be great.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. We've seen that.
Yes. We've seen it. We've seen it on a number of occasions. When he wants to, when he's working with people who push him, he can be great. But, you know, he also sometimes, as we said, wants to go hang out on a beach for 3 weeks with his buddies and, you know, and make a movie in between Mai Tais. And again, that sounds like a pretty good life,
right,
to me.
We need a friend like that, Alan.
Yes. Amen. But anyway, so Murder Mystery 2, like, it's not going to blow your hair back. I'll be honest. There are a lot of details that I've already forgotten, and I watched this movie yesterday. but again, it's as far as just like, it's comfort food, you know? It's like going to McDonald's, you know? It's like, it's a very fine example of what it is.
There you go. Alan Adams talking movies with us. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Good luck in the voting this week. Preliminary ballot for the Downtown Hall of Fame. Oh. Alan's out there in the main bracket.
Man, I gotta, it's not even almost. It is legitimately embarrassing how much I want this, Rich. Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, it's like, no, I need this in my life. Like, I want this bad. So vote for me, everybody. Vote for me.
Let the people speak. Thanks, Al. Good luck.
Yes, sir.